chapter 4 as we continue. I don't have a lot to say today. How many believe that? No, I was sharing with Dan a little earlier that sometimes you can have a subject and you could fill and put tons and tons of information there and you kind of cram it into the time. And then there's other times. So we kind of split this down. I want to stay sort of laser focused on one point this morning. And that means we may get done early. Notice I put the word may in there. That's my caveat, right? So we may get done early. It's like a politician that says, we may raise your taxes. Anyway, okay. Look, if you would, with me to Philippians chapter 4. I want to go back and read some of the verses we've already covered to get a little bit of the context, again, of where the Apostle Paul has brought us in our study. Let's go back to verse 10, please. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care of me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but thee only. For even in Thessalonica ye did send once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but because I desire fruit that might abound to your account. But I have all, and abound, and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing unto God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the study that we've been having here in this book and reminding ourselves about joy and, Lord, reminding ourselves about our mind and training ourselves to think properly. Father, to look at things from a spiritual perspective. And Father, I thank you for the Apostle Paul and his ministry. Lord, how you used him as the apostle to the Gentiles and how he helped establish ground rules and, Lord, the foundation of what we know as the church. And, Lord, we see some thoughts here in the Apostle Paul's life about his ministry as he's out and about and serving across the Macedonian area, Lord, in that area of Greece, and, Lord, how he is being supported by this church here. And, Lord, we talked over the last couple of weeks about knowing to be content and satisfied with those things which you've provided. And, Father, last week we looked at God, you being able to bring us to the point where we can do those things that you're asking us to do. Lord, not that we can do anything or everything, but Lord, we can do all things, Father, that are involved with serving you. And Lord, it's through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, but Lord, we understand the understanding of being full and needy at the same time. Lord, being in excess and abounding, but also, Father, to be brought low and having things that are wanting. Lord, both of those things at the same time teach us to be strengthened in our Lord. And we talked about that last week. And then, Father, the Apostle Paul reminds this church here in Philippi of how blessed he was to have them as partners in his ministry. And Lord, that is what we are going to look at briefly this morning, to set a focus in our minds on this one point, ministry partnership. So Father, just help us as we look to your word. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. Teach us. Lord, we were saying earlier today, we don't just come here to hear the word of God. Lord, you're here because you want to show us changes. You want us to make adjustments. You want to lay on each and every one of our hearts something that we can do better for you today. So, Father, show us what we need to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Title of today's sermon would be Joy Comes from Partnership in Ministry. Partnership in Ministry. Now, there's a lot about giving that we will be talking about next week, because the Apostle Paul is deliberately talking about that. And he talks about the fact that it is giving and receiving that they were being a great blessing to him in. But what I wanted to look at is verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done in that you did communicate with my affliction. This word here, communicate, sometimes in our culture today, in our understanding of language, we use that word meaning like to talk back and forth to one another, right? Communicating. But the old English understanding of that word, and we've lost some of it in the way our world just uses language, is, how many of you know what a commune is? You know what a commune is? Okay, that means it's a group of people who get together and live together and share all things. That is a better explanation of what the word communicate means. It doesn't just mean sharing words with each other and ideas with each other. It means sharing life with each other. Okay, they would have funds in common. We would think about a commune of having vegetable gardens and sharing all their food and sharing all the resources. That is the understanding behind it. It is a coming together and sharing and being a partnership. The word here is co-participant. Okay, does that make more sense or less sense? If you're going to participate in something and you are teammates together. And this is what I want to focus on this morning. And if we go really, really early and get done, I know there will be cheers of happiness. But number two, I want to do that because I want us to be completely focused on the thought we're going to put out this morning. The Apostle Paul says in verse 10, your care of me hath flourished again. They desired to be with partners with Paul the whole time. But they didn't, it said they lacked opportunity. They gave to Paul's needs, and we'll talk a little bit about that more next week. But he said, you gave unto my necessity time and time again. You were helping me meet my needs. But they also supported Paul's missionary work, and that's the key. He had a ministry that he was involved in, and they were fully supporting it. Number one, giving is one of the best ways to communicate with someone. Now, when we talk in a church situation and the word giving is spoken, especially by the pastor, everybody grabs their wallet. Oh, uh-oh, he's talking about giving. He's after my money. Okay, but let me ask you a question. If I were to tell my wife, if I were to tell my wife, how about this way? When I tell my wife I love her, which I do. Okay. If I just said the words I love you, but never did anything in any sort of giving manner toward her, is that proof at all? No. I display that I have love toward her in being a giving person toward her life. Now that doesn't also mean I love you, here's $60. That proves I love you. See, sometimes we get that cultural mentality in a church situation that when we start talking about giving, it's automatically on what we put in the plate. Okay, we have to make sure that that's not the idea that we have behind this. When we are communicating, being co-participants together, when we want to be involved in a ministry with each other, it is not just speaking words. Okay, when our missionary for this week is Ken Meyer, when he comes here to be a part of our church and our fellowship and we continue the relationship that we've had for years, we don't just say, "Hi, Ken, it's good to see you." Move along. Right? Well, could look it up. Remember the verse in the scripture where it says, if a brother comes to you in need and you just say to him, "Be ye warmed and filled," and you send him on his way, that God says, "How dare you?" Because giving is part of our showing of love and participation in ministry with each other. Now, how do you give? Hang on to that wallet. Okay, we're not talking about that, are we? There's a lot of different ways you can give to someone. You can give them their time. You can give them your attention. You can give them the access to prayer time, things like that, right? I want us to be focused on this because all of that, automatically, when we talk about missionaries and ministry and we talk about giving, we think about finances. Now, that is a part of what we are talking about. Love is a great one. But again, how do you show love? If it's just words spoken, but you do nothing else, it takes effort on our part to show that, to demonstrate that, right? So, this is not something that is unheard of. Keep your finger here in Philippians and look at Matthew chapter 6. I'll give you a quote a little bit better. How this displays out and what Paul's saying. We have a quote here we use in our world called, "Put your money where your mouth is," right? That if you're serious about something, you're going to give. Okay, we use that. And that's not unheard of. Matter of fact, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus himself says this. So I'm not divorcing completely giving financially to something, because that would be contrary to what the Bible teaches. But you can't just write a check or drop a bill in a plate and think that takes care of your involvement with ministry. Right? Okay, you don't, I hope you don't. And listen, I have children that I had taught in the Christian school when I taught there at the high school. And I've said before that sometimes they would say, "Man, I wish you were my dad." And I said, "Oh, no, you don't," because I wouldn't put up with a bunch of stuff that they put up with. But they would say to me, "Mom and Dad give me everything, but they don't really love me." Because they had learned the understanding is, love does not mean, here's a gift for you, here's a present, here's money, I'll buy your love. They would have much rather not had all the gifts and all the money and had attention and had time and have actual involvement from their parents. Because dropping a bill, writing a check, doesn't show love. But, that is, it's an important part. How do I know that? Look what Jesus says. You're in Matthew chapter 6 with me. It says in verse 20, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Put your money where your mouth is. So God understood very carefully is where we have our treasures is where we will show our most interest. Okay? You own a big, beautiful fishing boat, Bassmaster something or another with all the... Okay, we were talking to Diane, her son and friends are out ice fishing this morning. Okay, and you're like, "Oh, go out fishing." You know what? It's tough when you know a person spends most of their money on a certain aspect of their life. That's probably where their heart is, right? Well, the Apostle Paul, and we'll talk a little bit more about this next week, but the Apostle Paul says, "Listen, I know that's where your heart is because you've given and given and given to me and my ministry over and over and over. So I know you're proving by your financial giving where your heart is because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is." But the Apostle Paul is kind of addressing something a little bit more than that. I can't throw money at something and make it important to me. There's more to it. There is a co-participation that needs to be involved in it. Now, Paul says something interesting here. He says, "You've given to my necessity," in verse 16. He says, for even in Thessalonica ye sent once again unto my necessity. Meaning they were meeting Paul's needs for what he needed for his ministry. This word necessity also is translated as business or occupation or employment. And that's going to come into important next week. So there's a commercial. Come back and we'll see how that fits in. But the Apostle Paul says, listen, you guys gave because it takes funds to run. It takes resources to do things, right? I mean, all of us understand that. If you don't have nothing, it's hard to do something. Okay, so the Apostle Paul says, thank you guys for doing this. But there's more to partnership than giving only, financially giving. Look at 1 Corinthians, if you would, with me. 1 Corinthians, this is a chapter, 2 Corinthians, this is a chapter direct reference to this church of Philippi. And we talked about this when we teach our discipleship lessons. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. When we talk about, well, what should I give to church? Which is a good question. We teach in our discipleship giving and what the proper understanding of it is. But here's a major important part to that. Moreover, brethren, verse 1. We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches in Macedonia. So that's what we're talking about, these churches in Macedonia, in which Philippi was the first one. How that in a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and deep poverty abounded unto the rich of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave them their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. The Apostle Paul says, they became partners, fellowship. They were working together with us in this ministry. But what he says is, before they gave a dime, they gave of their own hearts, their own selves to the Lord. Because partnership in ministry and doing anything worth anything is not just writing a check. It's having your heart involved in it. Giving of your own selves. I said 2 Corinthians. I said 1 Corinthians. It was my problem. I said 1 Corinthians first, but it was 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. To give an example of how this church began and to set the tone of the kind of place that this church was, go to Acts chapter 16. I did get that one right, Diane. Acts chapter 16. You remember the Apostle Paul is led to go to Macedonia, and he comes over and he hits this area and finds that there is no synagogue. And that was one of the things that the Apostle Paul did. He would go to an area and find a synagogue. Well, this was primarily a Gentile area. There was no synagogue. But as the culture was that if you went to a place, a body of water, and had a service, it would become a clean place, and they can carry on the worship for God there. And when he did, he came upon a few ladies that were praying by the river. You remember? Okay, and so go with me if you would. Look at verse 12. Okay, well, you can start in verse 11. And when the people saw Paul, what he had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech, am I in the right chapter? I am not in the right chapter. Boy, I'm having a hard time, Diane, keeping us straight here. That's all right. Remember I was talking about these glasses this morning? I'll blame it on them. Okay. Acts 16, verse 12. We're going to try this again. From thence to Philippi, which is what we're talking about, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in the city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart was opened, the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now, this is the example right off the bat of this new church in Philippi. This lady Lydia with the women there. Well, Lydia receives the Lord Jesus as her Savior. She gets baptized. And I want you to see two things that she did. Number one, she was attentive to everything that Paul said. If Paul said something, she paid attention to it. And when it said she gave attendance to it, meaning she did it. Remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about, now Paul says, now that you know all these things, now do them? There are a lot of people in our country, in our churches this morning, who will hear a lot of things from God's word and a lot of things from the mouth of other believers, but won't act on them at all. God's word is continuous. It says, okay, now that you've learned these things, now do them. We heard that theme in our Sunday school with Brother Dan, with Exodus, and the example is God reveals himself for who he is, shows the people what he wants, and now says, now do it. Okay, well, here's the thing that the Apostle Paul was experiencing right in this beginning of this church with Lydia. He says, she, when she heard what I said, started doing it and paid attention. Now, this is the beginning of this ministry in the church of Philippi. The Apostle Paul was speaking, and the people were doing what he said to do. Secondly, she basically dragged them kicking and screaming to stay with her at her house. Did you see it? It said, okay, now that she got baptized, she said, listen, you need to come and stay with me and dwell with me. I want to take care of you. I'll provide housing. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of all the needs that you need to. And it says, and she constrained us. That means, I've had a couple of ladies like this in my life. We go, oh, yes, you will. Oh, no, thank you. Oh, no, yes. Yes, ma'am. She said, this is what you are going to do. You are going to come and live with me, and I'm going to make sure you're taken care of. And she dragged and constrained them. She said, okay, you're coming. Yes, ma'am. That's why I knew Paul had a little bit of submissive heart, because he kind of said, okay, I'll do it. So you see, not only was she taking care of them in a financial manner, but she actually opened her own home to dwell with them. She actually listened to the things that the Apostle Paul had to say and was giving attendance to those things. She was an active part. This is being a co-participant. This is communication. Not just giving financially, but completely involving your life into a ministry. You get it? Now, this is the point. Now, we don't want to lose this. Being a participant, being communicating with Paul, meant they were completely involved from the right at the get-go with everything that Paul was doing in the city of Philippi. To the point where Paul references that back in Philippians. In verse 15, he says, now ye Philippians know how that in the beginning of the gospel, now that doesn't mean when Jesus died on the cross. He means when I first showed up in Philippi to preach the gospel to you guys, he says right from the beginning, you guys were involved with ministry with me. Because Lydia had set the example and said, whatever you say, Paul, I'll do it. And as a matter of fact, you come live with me, I'll take care of you. They were fully invested in Paul's ministry. Not just funds, but everything about their lives, they were involved. So I'm going to drop the question out here for you and me. And this is the one that, the laser-focused question. Who are you in partnership in ministry with? Who are you in partnership in ministry with? Because the Apostle Paul says, ye have done well in that you communicated, you were co-participants, you were a partner in ministry with me. Have you done well? Have I done well? Are you a partner in ministry? Now, let's step one step back. What is ministry? Guys, it's two things that are involved in ministry. Remember what those two things are? Word of God and the souls of men. Okay, you do not have a snow shoveling ministry. Okay, that is a service that you do. Because if it doesn't involve sharing, taking the word of God and sharing it with someone else, it's not ministry. It's serving. Okay? Are you involved? Are you a participant? Are you a co-laborer in ministry with someone? That is today's focus. Paul says, you've done well to do this. It was the right thing to do. Not they were forced to do it, and we'll get into this a little bit next week when we talk about this, that it was something that they did voluntarily. Not just because it was a duty. Well, pastor says, if I don't give the missionaries, then they were willing of their own selves. They desired to do it. And Paul says, you did the right thing. You've done well to be involved this way. So my question to us is, who are you a participant in ministry with? There's an interesting thought. You remember the story of Uriah the Hittite, where David sees Bathsheba and unfortunately commits adultery with her in a whole situation, and he calls Uriah the Hittite home to try to fix the problem that has been caused, and that doesn't work. And David says, all right, I'm sending Uriah back to the front lines. I want you to put him in the most heated part of the battle, out there, right on the front lines, and then I want you to pull back from him. I want you to leave him out there alone. And you know what happens. Uriah gets killed, and then the whole judgment upon David, where he is found guilty for murder because of that. You know, if we're not careful in ministry, we can do the same thing. You know, there are missionaries that we have on our boards right here, and we've sent those folks to the front lines. We've put them all the way out there. We've sent them to the other part of the world, and some of them are in the most heated battles for spiritual victory as possible. We need to make sure that we're not pulling back from them now that we've sent them out there. Same thing with you and I. Are you a participant in ministry? Are you a co-laborer? We can't be going ahead and say, I'm behind you! Way behind you. Go get them. We need to be completely involved, invested. We need to be ready with our own lives. Now, that doesn't mean, okay, I'll go to Africa too. No, sometimes they need people to stay by the stuff. Because you know what? If there's not healthy churches around the world doing their job for the Lord, there's no way that others can be sent out. You got to take care of home base first. But we have to make sure that we're involved in ministry, that we are partners, not just by dropping a couple bucks in the plate. How do you do that? How many of you pray for our missionaries? But don't raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But how many of you know what's going on in our missionaries' lives? They send us letters. But I'll tell you one thing that's pretty neat. We're in a world now, and I understand, I'm going to say this, there are still people in our church that don't have computers and don't have smartphones. I get that. Not going to fault you on that. But for those of us who do, man, I'll be walking around my house, and boom, Jeffrey Smith will have sent me an update on what's going on in his ministry. Boom, you know, the Browns in Mexico, there'll be something, there's a prayer request they send out. I'll find them out, you know, 10 seconds after they post them. Because I get a chance to be involved. Any of you are in contact with our missionaries in that kind of manner? My wife came out with a contact from Derek, that one of his friends' grandma passed away. Boom, contact. I think you and I could do a little bit better with being involved directly in each other's lives and ministry. Can't we? Now, I know what the answer is. You don't have to answer it. Because I know. That's like, could I pray more? You know what the answer is, don't you? The answer is yes. I'm not trying to guilt anybody into anything. I'm just trying to say we could be better at what we do, right? Because we every day we know we could be better at what we do. Here's the point, and here's the question again. Are you a partner in ministry with someone? The Apostle Paul had a special relationship with this church in Philippi. He talks about even in their great and deep poverty, they gave with joy. Not just finances, but of their own selves. And it was established right from the beginning. So we'll cover more of this next week because it ties in, but I can't pack it all in one service this morning. My thought for us to ponder, and I want you to go home seriously considering this, who are you in partnership in ministry with? Well, you, Pastor. Well, thanks. That's great. I hope some of you have somebody right here in our church. That's the easiest place to partner with somebody in ministry, right? Do you have a partner in ministry that's in another country? Now, I know we got lots of missionaries written on the board, and we give missions updates and things like that, but who are you personally in partnership in ministry with? Are you? Because we have an opportunity. Now, Dan just talked to me about something neat. I want to call it world outreach, but that's not the right one. Say it again. Global media outreach. He's going to be posting a couple things on the board, and this is just something for you to ponder. There is the availability for each and every one of us that have access to a computer that can send out emails to be involved with missions work all over the world. You can be reaching out right here, right from Sullivan. Go ask Dan later to tell you who he communicated with this week from a different side of the planet, talking about the Bible and giving them spiritual advice to questions that they don't have anybody else in Pakistan or Nigeria or someplace else to answer their question that they have about the scriptures. We live in an amazing time that we have the ability to reach people on the other side of the planet and give them understanding of God's word because God's given us understanding of his word. But the key and the thing I want you to think about this morning is who are you in partnership in ministry? Do you have somebody? Now, I could call Doc up here. I'll tell you how often and how passionate Doc has been with the missionary in India for years. Whether it's Pastor Thompson, whether it's Robinson, whether it's Sajay, you know, and sometimes they'll send letters directly to Doc, not just us. You know, asking for prayer, asking for financial support, putting a thought out there about, hey, we're starting a new church, would you pray for that? Now, I can give you some ideas. Maybe it's time again to talk about prayer teams that some of you have a passion for India. Not everybody. Each of us have different missionaries that we really have, the Lord's touched our hearts with. But you know what? Maybe three or four of you really have a love for the field of... Well, maybe you get with Doc and form a prayer team and meet once a month to pray just for the missionaries in India. To write them a special letter to say, here's us. It's Doc and Joe and Bill and Susan. We're on your team and we're praying for you every week here. Maybe it's the Browns. Maybe it's Ken and Joanne Meyer. And there's two or three others here in this church. And you want to get on a prayer team with them and say, hey, there's three of us that meet once a month and we pass on prayer requests with each other and we're praying for you diligently. We want you to know we are partners with you. We don't just drop a check in the plate and say, oh, be warmed and filled. Hope things are going well over there on the other side of the world. We're involved 100%. We have a passion and a burden for you. We want to be participants. We want to be communicating with you in your ministry. So I want you to think about that because I'd like us to be able to do that. In a couple of weeks, I'm probably going to ask you, is there any of you who have a special missionary that you'd like to be a part of there? I'm going to get all the names together and I'm going to introduce you to one another. and say, you know, Doc and Marion and Jim, they have a passion for India. You guys get together and form a team here that is our India, whatever you want to call them. Our, you know, what's the French connection? Well, our India connection, you know. Because we can do better with being participating in one another's ministries. Now, again, please don't take this as a guilt trip. I'm just saying, we could be better at it, couldn't we? Man, I love to find out when somebody says, Pastor, I've been praying for you this week. Good, because you don't know what kind of miserable week it's been. Well, can you imagine if you're a missionary at the other side of the world and you've left everything that you've known to go stand on the front lines in some place, and there's a small church somewhere that says, listen, we got three or four of you that we're praying for you continuously. We love you and we're on your team. The joy and power and encouragement that can give. Are you a partner in ministry? Ask yourself that and let God help you answer it. And we'll try to work together to do a better job at being partners with ministry. Maybe it's somebody right here at church. You know, we've got the nursing home ministry going on today. We've got the kids ministry going on downstairs. Maybe you need to partner with the ministry that's going right now in our church. Maybe it's the music ministry so that when Matt's up here, gone, I don't have to stumble through the words and go, oh my God. There is involvement and partnership we can have right in ministry right here. But the question I got to ask you, not me, not your spouse, not your kids, you. God wants every single one of us to be a partner in a ministry. What is the ministry that you're partnering with? If you don't have one, then say, God, I need one. And he'll show you. I guarantee it. So that's the encouragement for today. We're done. I'm done 28 minutes early. Jenny. All right. She's always going, Pastor. So I want you to stay laser focused on this week. If you want to pray for something, if you want to think about anything this week, say, Lord, what ministry can I be partnering with? How can I involve my life more in people who are working hard for the Lord? Please, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And Father, there is more we'll look at next week from this passage. But Lord, I want to stay focused right on this thought this morning, none other. Lord, this little church in Philippi was started with a group of ladies, and they were 100% sold out, involved in Paul's ministry. Lord, didn't just pray for him. They listened to what he said. They were involved with attending to all the things he taught. And Father, not only that, they grabbed hold of it and said, as long as you're here. And we see later on this chapter, even when Paul is released from prison, he goes back to Lydia's house. They were involved with him for the long term. And Paul, we see him referencing this, Lord, when he says, from the very beginning of the gospel in Macedonia, they were involved. Lord, I just pray you'd help us. Lord, whether it's putting together a prayer group, whether it's being financially involved, Lord, maybe it's just communicating more with our missionaries that, Lord, we have had many people come up here as missions emphasis folks that share a letter, share concerns. Maybe that's where it is, Lord. Maybe someone in the church this morning is going to be our liaison to be in contact with our different missionaries all around this world. And then, Father, I just pray that you'd help us understand the importance of being in a team together. We read so many times about the Apostle Paul and his ministry, but he very infrequently traveled alone. He had Titus, he had Timothy, he had Mark, he had Luke. Lord, so many times he had men that were going with him wherever he was going in ministry because he understood the importance of team. Lord, we need to be partners in ministry. Just give us an answer. Lord, help us to find out where we can do better. And Lord, we'll look forward to coming together and working these things out. So Father, give us a desire and a passion to be involved with others around this world. And then Lord, Dan was talking about it again. Not only do we get to partner with others who are putting their life out there because they've moved somewhere on the other side, we can, from our own living room, be helping to spread the truth of your word to places where they don't have people to answer. Lord, they don't have a local church they can go knock on the door. Maybe they do, but they haven't been introduced to it yet, and they need guidance. Father, maybe there's somebody today who would love to be more involved with spreading the gospel, spreading the word and the truth of your word all over this planet, and we can do it from the comforts of our own homes. Father, we live in an amazing time. So Lord, help us please to be ministry-minded, taking the word of God and seeing it invested into the souls of men. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I got no song. Well, came to the piano. Sometimes we end the song. I don't want you to end with a song. I want you to think of how can I partner in ministry. That's what I want you to think about this morning. All right, I love you. I'll make up for this next week. We'll go 20 minutes long. Oh, no, that's not how it works, huh? All right. Love you so much. Find somebody who needs to hear about Jesus this week and talk to them about him.